Hey listeners, that's the sound of Green Hearts the Vegan Vibe. We promised you last episode that Eric would play it on flute, but he's still recovering from his wisdom tooth extraction. So maybe on the next episode we can get him on here once he's back up and playing his musical instruments again. Brennan's just going to outline what we do before our podcast for you listeners.
Yes, we have a little bit of a ritual that we go through. We meant to put this in the last show, but we kind of, you know, forgot. Generally what we do is we go and make some espresso. We put a little bit of sugar in it and drink it as fast as possible.
By a little bit of sugar, I don't know if he's speaking for himself or not, but I put lots of sugar in my espresso. I'm a candy fiend.
Yeah, I don't put much
sugar. Brennan and I have different views when it comes to flavor. I like lots of salt, lots of candy, and hardcore spiciness.
Yeah, and I'm kind of a lightweight when it comes to that. We've cut down all the salt that we put in our dishes now so that I don't even salt most of my food.
Which is good because it focuses more on the produce.
Mm-hmm. So back to what we were talking about.
Tangent.
We get together and try and talk a lot because, you know, I'm a little bit more reserved than Alex is, so that's more important for me.
Well, we look over our show notes before we start recording. And on that topic, I'm going to mention again later, but we're posting a copy of our show notes for this episode, handwritten online, and you should check them out on greedhearts.ca.
It's pretty awesome. You get to see the difference between our handwriting.
Yeah, actually, well, it'll be obvious who's who is because we sign it at the end, but
yeah,
I'm sorry for my illegibility. General notes.
We now have a beautiful website
that
Alex has been working on because I'm absolutely technologically stupid.
Yeah, so it's actually kind of funny the way that worked. I learned HTML in grade 7, and I forgot a lot about it, so I just had to relearn it all. So you'll see our website, greenhearts.ca. I did it all by hand, HTML work, and a little bit of CSS for anybody who knows what that is. Yeah, so for those of you who know what that is, you can appreciate the hard work. I hope you guys like it. A lot of work went into it.
Alex asked me if I had any criticisms, and I gave him a list, and I felt really, really, really bad because he spent like a week just at the computer typing codes into the whatever he does. I don't know what he does, actually.
Yeah, I was a really big nerd for a while. Staying up until like 12:30 typing on the computer, hunched over, with a little bit of coffee in my hand. It was sad, sad sight.
I have like a Phantom of the Opera kind of picture in my mind.
Yeah. Onward, if you go to our website, there's a new feature that we have. Well, we have a lot of new features, but the one that I'd like to outline is we have a subscription bar. So if you type your email address into that, the subscription bar is in the top right. If you type your email address in, then you will get updates whenever we come out with a new podcast. So you won't get updates for anything else, but whenever we have a new podcast, it'll send an email to you so that you can know.
And finally, for general notes, we're going to be posting some production pictures. So just random pictures that we've taken of ourselves doing things related to the podcast.
Keep posted because on some of the other podcasts, we hope to talk about how we do a podcast, like we record and then we post. And so we'll talk about that in detail in a later podcast.
So we have a hip tip of the week.
Commuting on bicycle. There's many different kinds of commuting. You can commute by foot. You can commute by scooter if you're really cool. And by that, I mean the push scooters with your foot. With this, we're going to talk about biking really, really short. Biking is really helpful if you live in a big city more than a little city, because if you live in a big city, the traffic is quite heavy. And if you bike, in most cases in large cities, at least in Canada, it's faster than driving. I subscribed to an email mailing list about ice biking, which is biking in the winter, and all of the people there are from big cities, and they say that it's faster than driving, and that's why they bike, not for environmental reasons for the most part. But that's a good reason to do it too.
And it's really nice down south. In the bigger centers, they have bike lanes, which is really nice because you don't feel like you're interfering with traffic, or you don't have to worry about anyone being stupid and trying to push you off the road. I really like that. I like using them in Kingston, where I live during the year.
And on that topic, bike lanes, that is, if you don't have a bike lane, be sure that you take enough of the road. I fell on my bike last year, and the reason that I fell on my bike is because I was trying to give cars too much room. And as nice as you want to be to the vehicles, you have to consider your own safety as well.
Yep.
So onward, rant of the day. We're going to talk about cafeterias and how wasteful they are.
Yep, we're going to cover both high school and university.
So I'll talk about high school. In our high school, we have not dishes, but we have those Saran plate things. What would you call it? I guess styrofoam?
Yeah.
And I have a personal conviction against styrofoam. I hate it. There's nothing good about it. Nothing at all.
Just doesn't break down in the landfills.
Yeah.
Like ever.
Not that anything does. We'll talk about that in another episode. Landfills are designed so that things don't break down, so that they don't leach into the water.
We have lots of things that we're talking about in the in another episode.
Yeah, we have a lot of material to cover. Great for you listeners. Anyway, so that's one thing. We have the styrofoam plates that are one use. People throw them out. There's not even an option to recycle them. They have the spoons and forks that you just throw out. You can't reuse them. And of course, cups that aren't recyclable because that's the way it works. Especially for hot drinks, which standardly use styrofoam cups because they needed them for the heat insulating properties. Brendan, you can talk about university.
Yeah, so a couple of things that I've noticed at my university are the wastefulness of students. It's an all-you-can-eat kind of setup. So you take what you think you'd like, and that means that sometimes you take more than you can actually eat. And if you don't like something, then
you just trash it.
Yeah.
Do they have any compost at your school for students who...
No.
No. What about recycling?
No. Everything's on ceramic plates, and we use metal forks and knives.
Oh, so you can return them?
Yeah, they're all returned to... We have trolleys set up so that the staff can wash them. So that's a little bit more eco-friendly. But if you're taking all sorts of dishes with individual plates or bowls and all sorts of spoons and knives, then you're just creating more dishes for them to wash, which means that they have to use more water and more soap.
And if you're washing 20,000 dishes, that's a lot of dish soap.
Yeah.
I think it's good for our rant. It wasn't very ranty. Maybe we should be more angry in other episodes. If you think we should be more angry, then tell us what you think. Send us an email. We want emails, please. We will have one that we'll talk about
after
the next two things. We have a book of the week. The book of the week is Generation V, written by Claire Askew. I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly. She was a teenager when she wrote this book, and it's about being a teenage vegan or vegetarian. I can't really go into much detail about it. I've read it. It's really good, and I would recommend it if you're a teen or even if you're in university because it still applies to you. It outlines in detail how to deal with parents, and I found that very helpful in my stage in life. And even if you've already dealt with your parents, I would suggest reading this book because it'll help you further that relationship with your parents regarding food and whatever diet you follow. Brendan, you want to read the quote of the week?
Sure. So this is a quote from Mahatma Gandhi. The quote goes, "Be the change you want to see in the world."
And it's just so true.
Yeah. If you don't practice what you preach, there's no point.
That leads into an interview that I had for a job that I was hoping to get, which I didn't. Anyway, they asked the standard interview questions, but one of the non-standard questions that they asked was, have you made any changes to yourself in the last 6 months that you consider to make yourself a better person? And I thought that was funny for two reasons. One, because in the last 6 months, I had recently become vegan. And in the last 6 months, I'd been looking at myself personally and deciding what I could do to make myself better. And I think that's a great way to live your life, especially in your younger years, to look at yourself and see what you want to make better so that you can be a better person to the world and to others.
And that kind of goes along with what we talked about in the first episode.
Yeah, exactly. If I could just tangent before we get into our listener email. Brandon and I are trying a different recording technique this episode, so if you like it, you should also send us some sort of feedback so we can do it next time. It looks like it's going to be louder, which is good. Do you mind if I read the listener email?
Sure.
We got a listener email, which was quite exciting. I'll read it to you. Interesting podcast. First, I am not a 32-year-old stalker. I'm 39. Many interesting points. I suggest that you get call display so your next podcast is not interrupted by your father. Side note, this wasn't after the second podcast that was also interrupted by the phone. I do take issue with your support of the organic fruit and vegetable trade. To me, this is creating a two-tier system of produce whereby only those that can afford the safe produce can buy it, while the rest of us eat the pesticide-laden leftovers. I feel government efforts should be going into ensuring we have equal access to a safe food system for all. This kind of coincides with our healthcare system in Canada, and I think what this person is saying, well, relates to our healthcare system as opposed to the two-tier system that the States has. Continuing on in the email, this also begs the question of whether all pesticides are bad. Life expectancy continues to increase, and he quotes the Center for Disease Control, United States. If we're really poisoning ourselves, why are we living longer? I think that sometimes we become obsessed with avoiding chemicals that may not be harming us at all. We should be focusing more on what these chemicals are doing to the wildlife and ecosystems which come in contact with our crops. Lastly, when using new smelly herbs, please spell them so I can understand what you're using. That's a reference to asafoetida, and I wish I could spell it right now, but I don't know how to spell it without writing it down. Maybe I'll do it at the end. Cheers, Bob the Tomato. So thank you, Bob the Tomato, for sending us your email. You want to go through really quickly? I disagree with the call display, because it's kind of fun being interrupted. And if anyone thinks that we staged that, we definitely don't.
We don't.
I think it's hilarious, though. We actually do everything on this podcast au naturel. So anything that you hear isn't like staged. It just comes naturally.
That sounded really wrong.
We record the podcast in our birthday suits. What do you think of that, guys?
We're fully clothed. You'll be able to see that in the pictures.
Exactly. I thought that his comment on having a safe food system for all was not only intelligent, but, yeah, thought-provoking. I've never really thought about our food system that much.
I disagree with it a little bit that it's making the two-tier thing, because if I understand that, but at the same time, we can always grow our own organic produce, right?
For sure. And you guys know that because you've listened to our episodes already.
Yeah. And we will post the pictures of our garden soon.
Yes. We're getting on top of that. And he mentions that this begs the question whether all chemicals are bad for us. I think that that's a personal choice. I don't know that my opinion is strong enough on avoiding chemicals in all situations that I'm going to express it and enforce it.
Yeah, I really like the point about we should be focused more on the chemicals, what chemicals are doing to wildlife and ecosystems.
Yeah.
Because that's a good point, because a lot of the time we just kind of gloss over that.
So clearly this listener is very articulate. Maybe they'll send us some more emails in the future.
That would be nice.
Let's have a back-to-school segment by Brendan.
Yeah, so during the summer I was working at a summer camp, and the kids had to bring lunches from home, and I noticed the lunches nowadays are just awful. I couldn't believe my eyes. Most of the lunches consist of processed, sugar-laden junk.
Like, wait, let's talk about Lunchables for a bit. If you guys eat Lunchables, get off our podcast. No, I'm just kidding. Please don't leave.
Stop eating that awful, awful stuff. It's full of preservatives.
I wish I could say more worse things, but we have a clean rating.
Yeah.
Our podcast is children friendly.
Yes.
Continue on, lunches.
Yeah, so I was noticing that
articulate. You're really articulate today.
I know, it's just great. Just great. A lot of the times the kids can't open their own packages. You got 20 kids going at the same counselor at the same time, asking them to open things.
Would that be kind of gross if you're opening somebody else's, like, meat sandwich?
Yep. I was opening these packages and reading the labels.
Oh, bad idea.
Yeah. And I was opening up this thing that claimed to be a fruit leather. I looked at the ingredients, and it starts off with sugar and corn syrup and all this junk that I just shook my head.
You know what I find weird with those fruit things? They tend to say something like blueberry fruit juice or blueberry fruit dessert, whatever it is. And then the first ingredient is always something like pears and grapes. And blueberries is just the last ingredient.
Yeah.
How do you get grape flavor out of pears? That's really weird. If you guys know, maybe you should tell us, because we'd like to talk about that. Ugh.
So there was so much processed sugar and salt, like crazy amounts of salt in these things. And I was just thinking, these poor, poor children. No wonder there's such a big incidence of child diabetes and obesity nowadays, if this is what they're eating all the time.
And most of them bring packaged lunches? Like, they're not packed from home?
Some of them bring packaged lunches from the store, and there's very rarely do you see kids bring 100% homemade lunches. There's always something processed in
That's
their
funny.
Lunch. Yeah. And you kind of have to, like, fight with these children to get them to eat something healthy in the morning. And a couple of years ago, I went and talked to another staff member because one of the kids didn't bring a lunch. And they were in the process of getting the parents to bring it back. And I said, she needs something healthy. And they gave me something like a cookie and a granola bar. And I just looked at her and said, we've been telling the kids to eat something healthy. And she just kind of looked at me like, what are you talking about? These are healthy.
That just kind of makes you really sad.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. It was horrifying to me to think that this person thought that granola bars and cookies were healthy.
I don't know about you, but sometimes I get trapped in my own bubble of food. So, like, I'll look around and I'll look at other people's food and I'll be like, that's what you eat? Yeah. I mean, I thought everyone ate healthy like Brennan and I do.
Yeah.
You just forget if you're, I guess, isolated. I'm a loner.
Oh. I'm just going to give you a couple tips for packing kids' lunches. Instead of giving your kids candy in their lunches, you can just pack fruit in reusable Tupperware, and that can be plastic or glass.
Let's make sure you don't use plastic bags. Everyone hates plastic bags.
Yeah. And if you do have to use plastic bags, just get the kids to keep them in their lunch and wash them when they get home, and you can reuse them.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you're giving them sandwiches, you can give them something like a tomato and hummus sandwich. You can just cut down on the garlic because of the smell.
And depending on what kind of body structure your child has, that's the polite way of saying weight, you can include more or less fat in the hummus. Like for me, for example, I have a really high metabolism, so I include as much fat as I can. But if your child has weight problems, and a lot of children do, it's nothing to be embarrassed or ashamed about. You can just include less fat and a little bit more tahini, or whatever you use as a thickener, which is less fatty than using pure oil. I was just going to mention the kind of sandwich that I eat. So when Brendan and I were talking about lunches and packing, I mentioned that you could cook onions instead of putting them raw, and his response was, what? You put onions in your sandwich? So the kind of sandwiches that I have usually have a cooked veggie burger in the middle, and you can make these at home with lentils, or you can buy them in the store. So I usually fry that up with onions and a little bit of garlic, some oil, some chili peppers, sometimes a little bit of flavor if I think of it, like chili powder or whatnot. And I basically make myself a hot sandwich in the morning, put a little bit of homemade sauce on it, whatever your child likes. And it's usually somewhat warm by the time lunch rolls around, as long as you put it in a Tupperware.
That sounds really good, actually.
Oh, it's so good.
As far as drinks go, instead of giving them the sugar-laden juice boxes, you could just buy a cheap stainless steel water bottle for them and fill it with orange juice or soy milk or water. You can also get them to store cutlery in their lockers if they're in high school.
Yeah, I do that. It's a really good idea because that way, like, I spend one day where I know I don't have much homework and I just go to school with my cutlery, keep it in my locker, and whenever I have lunch, it's already there.
So above all, just make sure the kid's lunch is vegetarian or vegan.
Oh, that reminds me. So for those of you who... Well, that's really loud. Sorry about that, guys. If you guys follow our blog, you will know that we have a little voting thing on the side where you can express whether you're an omnivore, whether you eat lots of meat. Sorry, our options are lots of meat, omnivore, pescetarian, which means vegetarian plus fish, vegetarian, strict vegetarian, or vegan. So here are the results as thus far. The omnis, which I include pescetarians in, has 54% of the votes. And the vegetarians and vegans are at 46%. So I think we should have a friendly little competition here and see who can win. So if you're an omni and you want to win, then get more of your friends involved in our podcast. And same thing, if you're a vegetarian or a vegan, get more out there and we'll see how many listeners we can get of each. So talking about food, we can give an update on the cookbook that we're slowly working on.
Yeah, so I started an outline a few days ago.
Yeah, let's be clear. I'm doing HTML. Brendan's doing tons of legwork on this cookbook. He's a maniac. It's awesome.
So far, we have 112 recipe ideas.
And look out in the future because we'll be looking for recipe testers. Indeed. Not yet, though.
So it pretty much, at the moment, ranges from breakfast to supper and everything in between. We have smoothies and sandwiches, soups, main dishes, all sorts of
desserts.
Weird and wonderful desserts. I'm going to try out a creme brulee recipe. I'm pretty sure I can do it.
Obviously without cream.
It's going to be, yeah, the crowning glory for me if I can create a vegan creme brulee. I'm 90% sure that it's going to work.
Yeah.
I found an old recipe that my grandmother used to use and...
Oh my God. Oh. There goes the phone.
Yeah, and that
and
was...
we didn't even plan it.
No.
It's just amazing.
It's beautiful.
Well, then again, the phone rings pretty often in this house, but still, look at that.
So I found a recipe that my grandmother used to use, and it's perfect for altering to be vegan because it really didn't use that many eggs, and that was the big problem with what I was trying to do. So
there are many egg replacers, too.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm even going to use...
Well, I mean egg replacer in the natural sense, like a banana is a natural egg replacer. We're going to have a really cool outline to it, too, so you'll be able to search it really well, but we'll talk about that later. We're early on in the process.
Very early on, because we're going to start getting really, really busy with school soon, so
yeah.
We're going to just focus on school and podcasts for the next little while.
That's why we have so many podcasts coming out recently. We hope to crank another one out before Brendan leaves, so that we can have another podcast together.
Yeah.
We're going to skip Allergy of the Week this week, because we have so much other material to talk about. And we're going to briefly cover the spice of the week that is, again, an herb.
Yay. And this week it's chives.
Chives are delicious.
They are. And they pretty much grow everywhere. I lived in a really, really, on an island in James Bay, and they grew there wild.
Yeah, and exactly. They grow wild. You don't even have to plant them.
Yeah, I've never, ever bought chives in my life. They've always just kind of grown where I live.
But if you can't find them, you can buy a small plant of chives, plant them, and they'll multiply like you wouldn't believe. Just put them in, even if it's not a garden, like just dig a hole in the ground, they'll grow.
And I grew them in a pot for a few years, and it's beautiful. They come back year after year. And even with our minus 45 weather on James Bay, they still came back year after year in the pot. And
man, so that's
cold.
So that
was pretty, it was nice.
Chives kind of taste like onions, but less bold and more savory, would you say? Not savory, that's the wrong word.
Yeah.
How do you describe flavors?
They're from the onion family. They do taste like onions, but they're more like shallots, I'd say.
Yeah, actually, they're really similar to shallots, but you don't have to pay for them.
No, it's not shallots.
If you're going to plant them, just keep in mind that once they have a purple flower, they're going to be a little tough.
And we were wrong, it's not shallots, it's scallions.
Scallions, you're right, you're right.
Yeah.
We're not going to have recipe of the week either this week because we're working on our website and cookbook, so check back next week for that. We're going to have a really short garden segment. I planted broccoli, and if you don't cut the middle stem off the broccoli, it's going to end up going to seed really early, and you're going to have broccoli flowers. So we've got this beautiful garden with everything growing perfectly except for this broccoli, which is just a bunch of yellow flowers.
Yeah.
So if you're growing broccoli, cut the middle stem as soon as you see it. Trust me, more will grow from the sides, and you'll be happy. If I could just tangent for a bit. Yeah, sorry to get off topic. Brennan and I were looking at getting grants for our podcast. This doesn't really affect you guys other than it's kind of interesting. So right now we record on Brendan's Mac, which is not bad because Macs come with a great microphone, but we're looking at getting grants because we're a non-for-profit youth program. We don't make any money off this and we plan not to. So we could get some good quality mics with that. Maybe a mixer, which would be really cool. Then we could have some really cool sound clips inserted. And they're kind of expensive.
And some of the other cool things that we could get are maybe t-shirts and buttons and stickers for all you fans.
So if you guys are interested in that, or if you have any suggestions as what we might want to use grant money for, or if you know of any ways to get grants, feel free to send us a message. I've got tons of phone numbers that I've called and people are calling me back, but the more help, the better. I also have a PETA rant that I think would be appropriate. Okay, seriously, PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. They are the world's largest animal rights group. They call themselves animal rights, but they're not really. But what the heck, guys? Like, they support running around naked and smearing stuff all over themselves, and that's a good time. Don't get me wrong. But does that help the cause at all? Like, I think that when people hear vegan or hear vegetarian, they think of PETA. Well, let me just be clear before I go on. The reverse isn't true. When people think PETA, they generally do not associate them with vegetarian or vegan. They think animal people. But when people think vegan or vegetarian, they generally think PETA, and it gives them a bad impression of us. But we're not all like that.
We're not all extreme people who go and dress up like the Ku Klux Klan and hand out pamphlets at dog shows.
Did they actually do that?
They did.
Wow. They do some pretty crazy stuff. Like, for example, they support the boycott of Canadian maple syrup. And that's just stupid. I mean, I don't like the Canadian seal hunt either, but does boycotting all Canadian products solve that problem? Like, that means I've got to buy everything from the United States? That doesn't make any sense at all.
And that makes more enemies than anything else. You're not really helping the cause if no one wants to listen to you, right?
And let's be clear, a lot of people don't want to listen to you. I was listening to someone talk about, well, not PETA specifically, but he was talking about organizations that are large. And he made an interesting point. These organizations just keep on fueling themselves. So their goal is not to achieve their goal, which would be to reduce animal suffering and animal exploitation. So to keep funding, they have to do things like
buy shares in companies that harm animals, for instance.
Yeah, because their bottom line is to make money. And clearly, that's not supporting their goal, especially since in their books that they publish, they specifically outline that you should buy vegetarian or vegan or environmentally friendly stocks. And they're hypocrites. They're hypocrites of a lot of things, too. This isn't very much of a rant. We should be more angry.
I know. I thought we had differing views on PETA.
Well, we do, because I also like them. They do a lot of great stuff, but they're so stupid. PETA helped me a lot when I first became a vegetarian because they've got a lot of great services for teens. They've got a forum where you can get help from friends, you can get free recipes online, you can get stickers that you can put in your stuff. They help you with anything. If you email them, they'll email you back. The only problem is they do a lot of stupid stuff. I wish that they could have like PETA and then like Teensa, where they had like Teensa, where they have like just a support group for teens, which is what I think is a great part of PETA.
Yeah, I find that the only thing I like about PETA is their stickers.
And they're so cute!
For me, they're too in your face, and I really don't like that. I kind of shy away from things that are more in my face. I like the passive, educate yourself kind of campaigns.
Yeah, Brandon also doesn't like peanuts in his face.
No. Wow, that just...
Insert crickets here.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's pretty much it for our PETA rant, I think.
Yep.
If you guys have any rants, you should submit them. Like, we don't have a voicemail line because we can't afford it. But feel free to record audio files and send them to us. That would be really cool.
Yeah, that's true. We could actually play them during the podcast, and it would be like
you're on voicemail, but exactly. You wouldn't actually be because we're too poor.
Yeah.
But let's be clear, we're not asking for money. We are asking for voicemail files, and you owe it to us. We provide a free service, so you should give us voicemail.
Indeed.
So send us an audio file at greenhearts@live.ca.
Yeah, that's your challenge for the week.
Exactly. We should have a challenge of the week section.
We should.
Lastly, as we mentioned earlier on, we wrote by hand the show notes to this episode. You can find them under the photo section of our website. It should be pretty cool. This is our contact info. You can visit our new website that's spanking and shiny and awesome at www.greenhearts.ca. You can email us, greenhearts@live.ca, and you should email us. We look forward to emails. So I think that's all for this week. Stay green, be kind. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Teenza. Where they had like Teenza.